Pictures of You, a workshop with Cara Walker and Rebecca Walker, curated by Luca Morena. Questions and answers.
Art, your art, could be considered a way to release unconscious psychic energies through the reworking of archetypes. And what is for you an archetype?
What is for me an archetype? Well, I did answer what is for me an archetype. And I did, for a while, as an undergraduate painter, really think I was into sort of myth and archetypes and Jung and, you know, this kind of study of, like, our common, you know, dream life. But what was the first part of the question?
Art, your art, could be considered a way to release unconscious psychic energies through the reworking of archetypes?
Yeah, I guess that's not really a question. It's sort of a statement that's true. I think it is a way for me sometimes as an artist to sort of process what I don't know I know, you know, sort of my unthought knowns, and see what emerges. And what I hope is that that's not a solipsistic activity, that's just about me and my own thinking, but that there's a common link to, you know, a history of embedded stereotypes and archetypes and narratives and, you know, jokes and mistakes that, you know, that I hold on to that aren't not too different than the jokes, mistakes, and narratives that, you know, others hold on to. And I mean, I do think that to some extent, you know, those types of narratives that live in the unconscious are sometimes culturally, you know, there are cultural specifics to them, you know, in what language they occur and to what fairy tale they're ascribed. But there's common links that I think we can tend to appreciate. Sometimes the specifics go, I mean, this is a little bit of an aside, but I've been asked, you know, about showing my work in Europe and other places, and I think sometimes one of the problems is that the specifics, like the sort of undercurrent of, you know, anger, shame, you know, or just like the sort of vitality might escape because the work starts to look like a story that is other as opposed to something that can be owned by a particular region. Mm-hmm. But that's just an aside.
I would say that an archetype is both a culturally constructed and larger piece of a collective global zeitgeist repository of images, dreams, and myths that shifts over time, and that our work is to try to kind of examine those archetypes and our relationships to those archetypes, and to thus subtly transform them and suggest that archetypes are not fixed but can be more malleable than we think that they are based on the Jungian model. But to think of them ultimately as just ideas, thought forms that are not necessarily set in stone. That the human being, the human body, the human mind is infinite and has tremendous potential and is fundamentally empty. And so that you can work with those notions that seem so entrenched. But it's a way of shaping our world and our psyche so that we feel comfortable. Archetypes do that. But whether or not they're biological and human and universal, and, you know, I think there's some aspect of that, but that can always be tweaked, and that they're more like tropes.
In your artistic experience, both of you, in what sense and to what extent can an artist work with stereotypes? Is it somehow culturally dangerous?
It's more interesting that way. Maybe the stereotype that I didn't quite get around to talking about in an earlier question was that of being the responsible, respectable, upright, upstanding black girl, which is also one of the sort of kind of, I don't know, stereotypes or archetypes that I sort of came with. I think you might have as well. So it's dangerous in a lot of ways. I think what I set out, you know, sort of playing with to some extent was not just, you know, cultural stereotypes that, you know, sort of live in America or live in the colonized mind, but also the kind of stereotype of the political activist artist. And some of the tropes that I use really that, you know, I've been and that have been accused of sort of undermining the work of activist artists was, you know, being sort of cartoonish, being sort of freewheeling with the facts, you know, embodying a kind of position of, you know, trickster neutrality, sort of moving back and forth between the accusation and acceptance and irreverence in a way that did rankle a number of people. But I think that that's, you know, like talking about sort of pushing people out of, pushing a viewer and pushing oneself out of the comfort zone, I think that that kind of has to be done, you know, in order to further, you know, this project of, you know, getting square with one another. I don't know if it's finding our common humanity, but getting sort of on the same page with one another, even for a moment.
I can't think of any of my work that doesn't deal with stereotypes, and it's all been dangerous. I think any time you point a finger at a stereotype, you shoot it up with holes, people get very upset. Well, first, they don't want it to be a stereotype. So I grew up in this very politicized feminist environment, and I thought of it as a stereotype. It became a caricature. And so then I wanted to deconstruct all of that. And then all those people who thought of that as ideally true, they didn't think of it as a stereotype, though others did, they became very upset and rejected my work. So yes, you can obviously, you work with stereotypes because you either want to point them out or you want to signify something about them or you want to deconstruct them or you know, that's part of the work. And then when you do that, it's very dangerous and people get very mad. Yeah, I think we both have suffered some of that sort of punishment. And that's very difficult as an artist. But I think at a certain point you make a decision, all of you will make a decision if you haven't already as an artist, that you will do your work or die. I mean, like there's like a point at which you don't care, you know. I mean, I think both of us have paid a tremendous price for the work that we've done, and yet we would do it all again. So it's very dangerous, and yet it's very much about being authentic to who we are and our desire to do work that we feel is important.
What aspect strikes you the most in an orphan photo? Is it the depicted portion of reality or what has been left outside?
Actually, the thing that I'm always struck by, and I actually have, I don't know if I have it with me, but there's a postcard, sort of, not exactly an orphan photo, but something that inspired me from the beginning. I actually am interested in what's happening in the photo, but it's what's being reacted to outside. So I'm interested in whether the subjects are responding to the act of, you know, of the machinery of the camera, if they're smiling to the camera, or if they're speaking to the photographer. And I'm also very interested in the perspective of that invisible photographer, the viewpoint of the, you know, what's within the frame has been informed by conscious choices that we can't exactly know but can only surmise. You know, sometimes it's very obvious we want to have, you know, everybody in the family and the car in the frame of the picture, but sometimes, you know, there are sort of unconscious, you know, decisions like why the planter and the tree, and, you know, like how was this composed? Why did they have to stand back at this particular range? Was there a conscious decision to line up the grill of the car with the lines in the skirt? You know, is there some kind of abstract quality about that? That, I mean, there's all sorts of interesting things that start to happen when you sort of step outside of the frame of the photograph and not get completely caught up in the construction of a narrative. That's why I think the thing that I think is challenging and interesting for me about narrative is like, there's a moment when you're like, and then he said to her, but out here, you know, meanwhile, you know, the rabbit on the tree, you know, saw the, you know, the twig in her hair, you know, so there's this kind of universe outside that that is sort of informing and reforming the narrative. With the subjects in the chair.
That is so interesting. I think this is a great moment about visual art versus writing or written art, because I have the exact opposite experience. I love that. It's because of our different kinds of work. I am very much involved in the story of the people, and I'm always looking at their emotions. I want to know if they're happy. I'm interested in the way they hold their bodies and what they're trying to show us or what they're trying to tell us. I think about the little girl, and I think about her mother, and I think about this African man in Timbuktu, or in what do they talk about. I wonder about the way they feel and what they talk about much more than the more formal elements of who's looking or what kind of camera they use, or I want to know these people. I imagine these people, and I would write about. To me, it's a story. That's so funny.
No, it's true. It's a story, and then it's true. When I see these photos, I do start thinking about the composition, the choice of this, because I actually feel like there's a very bizarre, untalked about thing about my work or my practice, which is like, I'm always kind of challenged by the power of being a person making things. Like, I feel like I'm manipulative, that there's too much, that's a power that's actually not given to me. And this is what I was talking about with painting. Mm. Like, as an African-American woman, it's sort of like not my place somehow. Mm-hmm. And then it's also politically not my place to manipulate these figures or these characters into doing my bidding. Mm. So I feel like I'm in this conflict relationship, so I sort of don't want to impose a story on them necessarily. Uh-huh, uh-huh, because uh-huh. It would
be... Because you identify with their subject, with their objectification. With their
yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's
I don't have
screwed
that.
Up.
I immediately identify with their sort of transcendent humanity, okay. No matter what. Isn't that interesting? But I totally understand what you feel. I feel that about this.
Yeah.
I think about the privilege of the person taking the photo and the powerlessness of this individual, or what I imagine to be powerlessness.
They are pretty fascinating.
They're fascinating. Photos. I buy a lot of them and have them up around. I find them evocative. Mm-hmm. I feel that they live. I give them, like, I would rescue this photo for this person, this man, this relationship, and honor it in some way.
This production was made possible thanks to Fondazione Merz, Torino. FondazioneMerz.org. Radio Papesse è un progetto a cura di Carola Haupt e Ilaria Gadens. RadioPapesse.org.